you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen, amen. Come on, who's thankful for Jesus here tonight? We have so much to be grateful for. So much to be grateful for. You can take your seats here tonight. So good. Who's filled with faith? Who's stirred seeing 19 young people get water baptized tonight? I'm just like, they just kept coming. I'm like trying to figure out when I'm near to come up on stage. And I'm like, there's just another one. And there's another one. Soon we're just going to have the front of the church filled with pools. We'll have to install an Olympic-sized swimming pool just to do water baptisms. That was incredible. That is so good. And if you're in the room, I know that some of you guys are already back here. I just want to congratulate you guys. What an amazing step. What an amazing declaration. You know, that's it, church. Let's support them in that. If you see them afterwards, give them a pat on the back. Congratulate them. What an amazing, amazing declaration you guys have made. Well, if you don't know me, my name is Jason. I was the guy in the video wearing the really green jacket. I was getting back to my Irish roots, looking like a leprechaun in that video. The jacket is not actually that green. And so as I was watching the videos, I was looking at that jacket incredulously. There's a little one for some people. I was looking at it because it's not green. But anyway, my name is Jason. I am our young adults pastor and worship pastor here at Emerge Church. It is my privilege to lead those areas. And tonight, I want to get straight into the word. I'm just going to share a short message tonight. And it is called, I Didn't See That Coming. Turn to someone next to you and say, I did not see that coming. Turn to the other person and I say, I didn't see that coming. I didn't see that coming. Come on, why don't we pray? God, we just thank you for tonight. What a stirring, faith-filling service we've had so far, God. Lord, 19 young people taking that step to say, I have given my life to Jesus. I declare Jesus my Lord and Savior. Saying goodbye to that old life and stepping into the new creation that you have made them, God. We just pray in this time we have now, Lord, as we look at your word, would you encourage us? Would you fill us with a fresh fire, Father? And Lord, would you equip us to do what you've called us to do, God, all for your glory. In Jesus' my name. Everyone said amen. 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 Well, obviously the most important thing that's happened today is 19 water baptisms, but I also have something very important today. Today is actually my 1-year wedding anniversary. And I don't even know where she is. Oh, she's right there. There we go. She was worship leading. Great singing, darling. That was very good. I like your jacket as well. Where'd you get that from? She got a sale. That was very good. See, that's like husband and wife things. She tells me about the sales that she gets. To be honest, the first year of marriage, I know it's different for everyone. It's been a great year of marriage. Danielle makes life very easy. And we're loving it. And so here's to many more years of marriage. It's been a great year. And not only though, is it our 1-year wedding anniversary, as some of you probably know, as I've told the story before, it's also the 1-year anniversary of one of the most stressful weeks of my life. One of the most stressful weeks of my life. Not just because I was getting married. That's already a little bit very stressful. Not because I was planning that, but because, as a lot of you know, that week I was getting my hair cut. It was 3 days before the wedding. I needed to, you know, when I get a haircut, I need to let it kind of like marinate a little bit. I don't like it straight away. So 3 days before, I was getting my hair cut. And mid-haircut, I get a call from Danielle. And I think, you know, wedding week, I should probably pick this up. Usually it's like, no, I'll wait till afterwards. And I just kind of thought, no, I should pick this up. And so I pick up the phone call and I'm like, hey, what's up? And then she's basically like, you will never believe what's just happened. And I say, what's going on? What's going on? Is everything okay? And she says, I just got a call from our wedding reception venue, the venue where we were going to have our wedding reception. They were catering. Everything for our reception was happening there. And they have said that they can no longer do our wedding reception that Saturday. 3 days later, they were telling us with 3 days notice that they could no longer do our wedding reception. They're saying, we're sorry, legally we can't do it. There was just some things going on there where basically they've been told by law that, hey, we can't put any events on that Saturday. And so we're finding out 3 days before, and I'm just like, it literally didn't feel real. I'm like, this doesn't happen. This is our wedding. You know, we've done everything right. We're only 3 days away, and this is being thrown, this curveball is being thrown at us. And so I then said, okay, let's talk soon. And I talked it out with my barber and he was like, yeah. He didn't really have any ideas for me, but he listened. So there we go. And then I called Danielle and then we met that night and we're just talking about it like, what are we going to do? And then we kind of had this idea. Danielle had this great idea. It's like, okay, what if we stay at where we're doing our ceremony? Because they've got a little bit of a venue there. And so We called them up. And I'm the kind of person, once I kind of start going down an idea, and I'm like, yes, 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 and I get kind of locked into that idea. And we're on the phone with them. They're like, yeah, we can do wood fire pizza. There'll be this. And I'm like, this sounds great. But for some reason, we waited until the end of the conversation to say, and how much will that cost? And who knows that anything with a wedding attached to it is just 20 times more expensive. And they told us a number that was definitely outside of our budget. And so after this long conversation, I'm all the way down the road on this idea. I'm like, this is it. We found the solution. And then they just, this number was said, and we're like, sorry. No, actually, I think we said, we'll think about it. And that was one of those, we'll think about it. That's like, no, we're not doing that. And so we're just like, what will we do? We kind of talked about, do we just not do a reception? And they just seemed like there was no solution in the moment. And have you ever been in a moment like that? Have you ever been in a moment where everything is lined up? You've done everything the right way, and then bam, a curveball comes out of nowhere. Something out of left field throws the entire plan off, your life completely off. Maybe, you know, you lost your job. Maybe it was a friendship that you thought was a really great friendship, and all of a sudden they did something that felt like a betrayal. Maybe it was a moment where everything you were counting on, there's this one step that needed to happen and then everything will fall into line, and suddenly that collapses and everything is out. It's in these moments, the curveballs, the chaos, in the unexpected, that your first response reveals your foundation. Your first response to these moments reveals what your foundation is in life. Now, me, I'm a man, and so my first response is practical. What are we going to do? You know, when Danielle brings a problem to me, she's saying, this is going on. I'm like, okay, what are we going to do about it? And I've learned that they don't, Danielle doesn't always want something to be done about it. She just wants to talk. But that's just how we think. We're like, what am I going to do? We're very practical. What are we going to do about it? You know, sometimes we go into problem-solving mode. We scramble, we stress, we Google, we call people up. But there is a better response that God has for us. And today we're going to look at Daniel chapter 6, a story in Daniel chapter 6, a story where everything changes in an instant. We see how Daniel responds. So a bit of quick context to this. Daniel is an old man at this point. He's living in a foreign country and he's serving there and he's been very wise. He's serving with a lot of integrity. So he's kind of in a high up position and he's doing so well, actually, it says that he's doing better than all of his counterparts, so much that the king is going to, has plans to give him a position over everyone. He said, this guy's so good, I'm going to promote him over all of the kingdom. And so that's where we're at. Daniel 6, verse 1 to 10, it's going to be up on the screen. And it says this, Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. So Daniel's doing pretty good. He's doing the right thing. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs. But they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. Wow. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. So they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. So the administrators and high officers went to the king and said, long live King Darius. We are all in agreement, we administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, Your Majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. So basically, they've conspired against Daniel. They've gone to the king and they've said to the king, make a law that if anyone for the next 30 days prays to anyone but you, King Darius, then they'll go and be thrown in the lion's den because they're out to get Daniel. And then the king signs that. And this is what it says in verse 10. It says, but when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open towards Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to God. And so we see here that Daniel is in a good position. He's done everything right. He's succeeding in his work. It even says that he was so good that when they tried to catch him on something, that they couldn't find anything. He was a man of integrity. Literally, the only thing they could catch him on was his commitment to God. That's a person that I want to be. That if someone tries to catch me out on doing something, that they're like, the only way that we can get him is he's so committed to God. That's amazing. But everyone goes through troubles and trials. No matter how much integrity you have, no matter how much wisdom you had, we all go through troubles and trials. And what is Daniel's very first response when he finds this out? It says when he finds out, he goes home, he opens the windows, and he prays. He prays. And so I just want to look at a couple of just thoughts from this passage about how Daniel responds to a life-threatening situation. Literally, his life is on the line, and how does Daniel respond? And we see that his very first response, it was to pray. Now, like I said before, so often our first response is to plan, is to think practically, what am I going to do? What am I going to do in this situation? But what if instead of planning or thinking practically, we made prayer our first response? It's so simple, but it's something that we often get out of order. I get it out of order all the time. You know, we fall into the trap of trying to do it ourselves, and then we fail, and then we say, okay, God, can you please come and pick up these broken pieces? But why not pray first? You know, the other day I was sitting at home, and Danielle likes to light candles around the house. And for some reason, I was just seeing this candle, and sometimes she leaves them going overnight, and it makes me nervous. And I was thinking, what if our house burnt down? And I started going down this line, you know, I don't know why, and I was like, okay, if our house caught on fire, what would I run and grab? The classic is always like, grab the photo albums, but we don't have photo albums, it's all digital. And so I was like, okay, what else would I grab? Like, grab my guitar, grab Danielle. And I was trying to think of what I would grab. And the thing is, if you think about that, okay, if there was a fire in your home, if there was a fire, what would you grab? And your response to that question, in moments of pressure, in moments of urgency, what you grab, that really shows what you value. And it's the same way in times of trial, turmoil, of when these curveballs and troubles come at us, your first response shows you what your values are, what your foundation is. And so make God your foundation. Turn to Him first and pray when anything happens. Like in your relationships, in your families, whatever it is, whenever something happens, just make a habit of, okay, guys, let's just stop. Let's just pray. Let's just pray. Like, you know, before we go any further, you can think practically. It is good to think practically. Don't just pray and then sit back and be like, not going to do anything about it. But pray first and then watch how God brings wisdom. Watch how God brings His Holy Spirit guidance to that discussion. Because otherwise, you're just doing it on your own. And so pray first. So Daniel, I'm saying Danielle and Daniel all the time. This is confusing. So Daniel trusted God more than he trusted himself. But he also feared God more than he feared man. He feared God more than man. Literally, he, you know, found out that if he gets caught praying, he's going to be thrown into the lion's den to die. And he goes and he opens up the windows. He doesn't even close the windows. I don't think anyone would blame him if he just says, I'm going to take 30 days off prayer. I'm just not going to pray for 30 days. Or even, you know, I'm just going to close the doors, the windows for prayer. But no, he says, I'm going to do it how I've always done it. Windows open, right there, praying. He did not compromise. Daniel didn't compromise his beliefs. He kept going how he'd always gone. And we see that all throughout Daniel's life. Time and time again, there's opportunities to compromise, or there's situations where, you know, there's a bit of a struggle of, okay, am I going to commit or am I going to compromise? And Daniel is a man who just sticks to his convictions. And so what are your convictions? What are your habits that you have in place? Because let me tell you, this wasn't Daniel's first time praying. It says that this was as he usually did. He prayed there as he usually did. So if you're here tonight and you're like, this message isn't for me because life is great right now, well, this is a great time to start those habits, start those prayer times, because yes, you can start in the middle of a dark valley, but why wait till then? Make it a habit that you, in those moments, God, I'm just getting back down on my knees again, and I'm giving this to you. And so he went home and he prayed, and he knelt down as usual, just as he had always done. So build those habits, build those convictions. And it finishes that verse with something interesting. It says, giving thanks to God. Giving thanks to God. Daniel's just found out that he is probably going to die, that for his beliefs, he's probably going to die, and he gives thanks to God. You know, I think we can often be good at giving thanks to God in the good times, but are we good at giving thanks and praise to God when things are hard? It's difficult. It's not always easy to do. I remember one time there was someone in my life that I was quite annoyed at. It wasn't you, Danielle. Happy 1 year anniversary. I was just annoyed at this person. They'd done something to hurt me, and I just couldn't get over it. And I it wasn't really bothering me, but it was sitting in the back of my mind. And I just thought, I gotta get a hold of this. And so I was praying, and I just started to thank God for this person. And I started to thank them. And you know, there was things I'm like, yep, okay, they do this. That's nice. They do this. And I started to thank God for them. And as I began to thank God for them, literally that weight of anger, of frustration, of me being annoyed at them, that was just lifted off. And I'm like, I appreciate this person. You know, they did that one thing, but I am thankful for this person. It's the same with God. In these hard moments, we can be annoyed at God. We can be frustrated. We can think, God, where are you? But as we start to thank God and praise him for all that he's done, and there is not a short list of things that we can thank God for. It is a long list of things that we can praise him for. And if you're in the valley, just praise God, thank him, and watch as he lifts your eyes out of your situation. So often when we're in hard times, it's like our eyes are down like this. We can only see what's right in front of us. And as you begin to thank God, as you begin to praise him, it's like that kind of gets lifted, and all of a sudden you can see, okay, it's not just what's right in front of me, but there is a future. God has got a future and a hope for me. If I can get the band up on stage. And so praise God. Make it a habit to thank God and praise God. Literally, if you are going through a hard time, wake up in the morning and thank God for the breath in your lungs. Thank God for your family. Thank God for the day that he has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. We have so much to be thankful for. And if it's just the breath in your lungs, if it's just the fact that he sent his son Jesus to die for you, that is plenty to thank him for. Watch the weight lift as you do that. The interesting thing about this story is it would be nice to say he went home, he knelt down on the ground, he opened up his window and he prayed. And then, you know, the law was lifted. They decided that they weren't going to, you know, do that anymore. But that's not what happens. We continue to read in the story that the conspirators, they find Daniel praying because they knew he was going to do it. And they catch him and they go to the king. Hey, we caught Daniel praying to someone else. And they throw him in the lion's den and they put a rock over the den. And all of a sudden, Daniel, it's like, okay, is that the end for Daniel? But we know what happens. The next morning, they come back and they see, and there is not a single scratch on him. It's amazing. It's amazing. But the thing is that just because Daniel went to go pray, just because he didn't compromise, just because his first response was prayer, didn't mean that he didn't have to go through the hard season. He still had to go through it. But let me tell you, God got him through the other side. That situation wasn't the end of him. You know, we see a similar thing in the book of Daniel with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was a situation in front of them where they had an opportunity to compromise, where basically the king was saying, bow down to this idol, bow down to this statue. And they said, no, we're not going to bow down to another idol. We serve one God. And they get thrown in the fire. And, you know, you would think, oh no, God's going to save them. They won't get thrown in the fire. They still get thrown in the fire. But as we know from that story, they were thrown in the fire and they weren't burnt. That God, they still went through it, but God got them out the other side. It is a mistake to think that a life with Jesus is going to be free from any struggle, free from any hard things. The Bible literally says that here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. You're going to go through hard things, but God is going to get you out the other side. Being a Christian is a little bit like wearing a seatbelt. It doesn't prevent you from getting in car crashes, but when you get in one, it is going to help you survive it. You are going to get out the other side. And I believe that tonight, if you're in the fire, if you're in a hard situation, it might feel like it hurts right now, or it might be difficult right now, but God is going to get you out the other side, that no weapon formed against you will prosper. And then the last thing that we see from this passage is that God receives the glory from this situation. What's our theme this year? Our theme is to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Because of this situation, the king actually really liked Daniel. And so when Daniel is discovered that without even a scratch on him, the king is amazed. And it says this, the king actually says, "I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his rule will never end. He rescues and saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." And so tonight, be encouraged that when you go through a hard time, it's not for nothing. That what you go through, your co-workers are seeing, your family is seeing, the people around you is seeing how you respond to the fires and the trials that you're going through. And as God brings you out the other side, they're going to see, wow, how did they get through that? How did they get through that? And you're going to be able to say, my God got me through. And they're going to declare, wow, maybe they were like, I don't even know what this means yet, but your God is worthy to be praised. Your God is the living God. He saved you just like with this king. Just as we come to a close, I want to look at one other passage. One other passage in the Bible. It's very similar. It's a story of Jesus in Luke 22. Just like Daniel, Jesus was facing an unfair death, a death that he didn't deserve. He was in a moment where he knew that death was coming for him. And that's a difficult thing for someone to endure. And his response, the same as Daniel, is to go, kneel, and pray. In Luke 22, 39 to 44, it says, "He walked away about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed. And he prayed this, 'Father, if you're willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine.'" That's a key right there. When you pray, say, "God, I want your will to be done, not mine." Surrender it to God. Surrender it to God. And then it says, "Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood." What Jesus endured in that moment, but in that moment as he prayed, he was strengthened. I encourage you tonight, surrender it to God. Let God strengthen you to endure it. You know, because of the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, because he said yes to the cross, because he endured the pain of taking on all of sin and death, we have been set free from the ultimate payment, from the ultimate punishment. Yes, we're going to endure things on earth, but because of what Jesus endured, we know that at the end of the day, whatever happens, when we die, we have a destination with him in heaven. He has taken away the sting of death. We will endure things on earth, but at the end of the day, my home is in heaven. And that is only because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And I want to give you a bit of, sometimes we need that heavenly perspective. Sometimes we need heavenly perspective in our situations. Whatever you are going through, just know that because of Jesus, whether you know him or not, we all have an opportunity to say yes to relationship with him, to salvation through him. And because of that, we have an eternity that we can live in heaven where all tears are wiped away. Where all tears are wiped away. So right now, just as I come to a close of tonight, I can't finish tonight without an opportunity for you to say yes to Jesus. So if everyone can just close their eyes in this place, bow your heads. Because of his sacrifice on the cross, Jesus has taken the sting of death. The same Jesus who surrendered in the garden in that moment and overcame the grave is here to meet you right now. He wants so desperately to know you, to have a relationship with you. And all it takes from you is to say yes. He's knocking on the door of your heart tonight and saying, "Would you let me in? Would you say yes to me?" And so right now, with every eye closed in this place, if you want to say yes to relationship with Jesus, all you need to do is believe in your heart that He is Lord and confess it with your mouth, which is just means that we're just going to pray a prayer that's saying, Jesus, You are Lord, and asking Him to come into your life. So if that's you in this place, would you just lift your hand right now? If you want to say yes to Jesus, is there anyone here? I see a hand up the back. That's awesome. Two hands, multiple hands up the back. That's great. Up the back there, you guys can put your hands down. That's so good. Is there anyone else who wants to say yes to Jesus? As I look across, I see a hand. That's awesome. Up the back there, that's great. You can put your hand down. As I look across again, is there anyone else who wants to say yes to Jesus? It's the greatest decision you could ever make. Just going to look across one more time. So good. Come on, church. Can we pray this prayer together? Can we say, Dear Jesus, I give You my heart. And I confess that You are Lord of my life. Would You take my sins? Help me to live Your way for the rest of my life. I thank You, Jesus, for all You've done for me and all You're doing. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone said amen. Can we celebrate those people? So good. Amazing. So good.